I was asked to do the scripture reading today. It's from Daniel, chapter 4. This is from the New King James, titled Nebuchadnezzar's Second Dream. Nebuchadnezzar the King: to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good advice to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are His signs, and how mighty His wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. That was 1 through 3. Now in 34 through 37. This one is titled Nebuchadnezzar Praises God. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to the heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor of the King of Heaven. All of those works are truth, and His ways justice, and those who walk in pride He is able to put down. The word of God for the people of God.
My name is, of course, Nebuchadnezzar. I heard that you've been studying the life of Daniel. My saw's starting to fall here a little bit. And by using the example of his life, of what it means to be a seeker. You've also been looking at his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, looking at the Most High God and taking their example of living your life of being a seeker of God. Now, I'm sure your pastor has done a pretty good job. Matter of fact, I bet you he's done almost an excellent job. However, him and I talked, and I know I look a lot like him. We're both handsome. But I wanted to take and give you my testimony, just so you can see my life through my eyes a little bit. It's true what I said in those verses that was just read for you. The God of Daniel is the Most High God. We serve a loving God who has promised to be there with us, for us, wherever we are or whatever we may face. Amen? Yes. Amen? Amen? Thank you. But you know what? There was a time in my life where I was not so excited about this Most High God. There was a time in my life where I didn't follow Him. Oh, I acknowledged Him to a point, but I did not follow this God of Israel, His chosen people, the Jews, the Israelites. So to understand my story, we're going to go back a little bit. Yes, as your pastor says, back to Genesis. See, if you go back to Genesis, you see a story there about a certain tower. A tower that you now call Babel. And this Tower of Babel is actually the beginning of where I come from, my kingdom, Babylon. Now you know that they tried to build this tower to reach up into the heavens, trying to reach God that way. And then God came down and caused their language to be all different kinds of languages. Everybody got confused. And then the tower supposedly collapsed and just so forth there. And everybody, that's how the world started going different places, and everybody got their own languages. Of course, yes, Babylon is where the Tower of Babel was. You might have also heard something about the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Thank you very much. I did that. That's the way my attitude was back then. I did that. I did this. I did that. In fact, if you look back at some other history books, you will see that I even made an attempt to rebuild the Tower of Babel. No, it's not in your scripture, but if you look back at other certain history texts, that I had made the attempt to rebuild that tower. Now, almost 100 years before I invaded Israel, one of Israel's kings, Hezekiah, who was one of the leaders of Babylon at that time, who was actually under the rule of Assyria. Assyria ruled Babylon at that point. And Hezekiah, in an attempt trying to get somebody to come along with him to overthrow Assyria, sent a letter to the king of Israel, just saying how much he was glad that he was feeling better and had come through his sickness and just different things. And so they got together and they were talking, and Hezekiah, the king, showed the king of Babylon all the riches in the palace, all that gold and all that silver. Now, through the years, Egypt finally won a battle against Assyria, and my dad saw an opportunity to defeat Assyria completely, and then started the Babylonian Empire. And of course, within time, I took over Babylon. And I never forgot those stories about all that gold and all those things that were sitting there in Israel, just waiting for somebody to come and plunder it and take it. Plus, I wanted new lands. I wanted to expand my kingdom. We were, especially for that time of the known world, a world kingdom. We were growing in might, so we invaded Israel. And when we did that, we took their treasures and brought them back to Babylon with us. And we also brought back some people with us, especially some strong people, some noble people. And of course, in that situation, we also took with us back to Babylon 4 young men. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. I know you know their other names, but we'll go through that at a different time. These 4 men were special right from the start. They were different. Not just because Israelites, but within them I saw a devotion to the God that they worship. Now, I didn't believe in your God at that point. I didn't believe in their God at that point. But they did. They had a special determination. You see, when we've brought them back, it wasn't just the fact that we just brought them back and just different things. We instantly turned them into eunuchs. Okay? Now, I saw some heads, cringe, especially the guys. But we turned them into eunuchs, and we began this process of brainwashing them, of taking and getting them to follow our customs. And one of the ways we did this was trying to get them to eat our food, the food that we wanted them to eat. Some of that food was, of course, against Hebrew tradition, what God had told them they could not eat, and some of it had also been worshipped to false idols. I can say false idols, and I'll get more to that in a moment because of the change that took place in my life. And they decided that, you know what, we're not going to eat this. But they didn't just, take and revolt or anything like that. They came to me and said, hey, what if we did this? We eat the foods that we feel God wants us to eat. And if we're not at least as good as what your other boys that you're training, if we're not as good as them, then we'll eat that food. But if we're doing okay, then we can continue on. So for a few days, they ate what they wanted to eat, what they felt their God was telling them to eat. And sure enough, they came back and they were smarter, they were healthier, they were stronger. And so we decided to let them, on that situation, have their way. And it was just the fact that you saw their devotion to what they had been told by their God to do and not to do. Then one night, I had a strange dream. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can have some really strange dreams. Most of the time, those dreams mean absolutely nothing. You know, dreams are just sometimes dreams. You got a lady named Karen here. I'm sure somebody has dreamt about her at times. And blessed that way. But sometimes dreams are just that. Just dreams. But this one was not just a dream. I dreamt of a statue. The head was built of gold, and the different parts of the body was built of silver and bronze and iron and clay. And none of my sorcerers, none of my stargazers or any of my prophets or whatever could tell me what even the dream was. You see, when I told them that I had a dream that I wanted them to tell me about, I told them first they had to tell me what the dream was. Of course, they couldn't do that. So Daniel got together with his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they prayed. And it was revealed to them what this dream meant. And I'm not going to go over through it again because you've already studied that. Or if you want to go into Daniel's book and read about it. But it was the image of different nations, different world powers that would come to be. And I was at the head. I was the head. My golden head was of Babylon. Then sometime after that, I got a bright idea. And I say that very sarcastically. I got the bright idea that I was going to build an image. 90 feet tall. Full of gold. Built of gold. Solid gold. And then everybody was going to worship me through it. That was my boldness at that time. That was my selfishness. My conceitedness at that point in time. Now I would have the music start and I would have everybody bow down, and through worshiping that idol or that image, they would be worshiping King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And then those three guys created some trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, again, remaining true to their God, decided that they weren't going to bow down. Now, if you remember, I had a punishment to take place for anybody that was not going to bow down. That was to be thrown into that fiery furnace. And I even gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the opportunity to a second chance, if you want to put it that way, to go ahead and bow down. They wouldn't do it. So we threw them in there. And as soon as we threw them in there, I jumped to my legs and my feet and I said, "Wait a minute. How many did we throw in there?" And everybody's, "Well, duh, we threw three in there." "Well, then why is there four in there?" There is one like the gods walking in there, who you call Jesus. He is God. But at that point, I didn't know who he was. But he was in there, and they were delivered from the flames. We pulled them out, and at that point, I made this proclamation that they had the Most High God. But I had not put my faith in that God. You see, I still had other gods, more other Babylonian gods that maybe I tried to mix in with them, and just different things like that. But I made that proclamation of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that if anyone speaks evil or against their God, that they would be torn from limb to limb and their possessions burned, for there is no God like theirs. I never said like mine, or that I was making God my God, or their God my God. Once again, I refused, neglected, however you want to put that, to see God trying to get my attention in seeking him, or to get me to seek him. Now you may be asking yourself, well, we just read, or had the, Craig, is it?
Yep.
It is Craig. Okay, thank you. Thought maybe he forgot his name there for a second. Those words that Craig read for you kind of describe a different Nebuchadnezzar than what you have standing up here in front of you. Matter of fact, The Nebuchadnezzar that those scripture describes is a totally different one. And again, it all began with another dream. Another dream that bothered me to my core. In my dream, I saw a tree in the midst of the earth. It grew and became strong. Its height reached the heavens, and it could be seen from all over. The leaves of the tree were lovely. Its fruit was delicious. There was enough for everybody. Those who were under the tree and those around the tree all had enough to eat. Those under the tree found shade and were at peace from the tree, who had ate from the tree. Now, if you want to read more about that, go to those verses in your Bible between 3 and Daniel 4, chapter 3 and verse 34. That gives the description of whatever took place. But in my dream, I saw this tree. And then a man comes down from the heavens and gives orders to chop down that tree, to strip its leaves, to scatter the fruit, and everything to leave from behind under the tree, to chase the birds from the branches. In other words, to completely do away with it, except to leave the stump and the roots, to bind that stump with a band of iron and bronze. The dew of the heavens would water that stump and let it graze in the beasts of the field and the grass. And its heart would be changed from that of a man to a beast of the field. So once again, I turned to Daniel. I said, Daniel, I don't understand this dream. I know there must be something behind it because it, just the way it was bothered me to my core. So I asked him, I said, Daniel, Belshazzar, that was his other name. And Daniel told me that the tree in the dream was again me. It represented how strong I had grown and how strong I had made Babylon. That was the good news. It was the rest of the dream that had Daniel nervous in telling me what it was. Instantly, I could see that Daniel had a difference come over him. He was nervous. He was shaking, as if he didn't want to tell me what the rest of the dream was about. And so I told Daniel, I said, Daniel, just tell me the dream. Just tell me what it means. Don't worry about it. If it's something I don't like, oh well, just tell me what it is. Daniel told me that I would be chopped down from my position as king. I would lose it. I was going to be forced out from among the people to live in the wilderness for 7 years. I would eat grass like oxen until I would come to faith. Not just acknowledge that there is a Most High God, but come to faith in that Most High God. Not just believe he exists, but to trust my life to him. At that moment, Daniel pleaded with me to go ahead and trust God at that moment, so I would not have to go through this. And maybe if you come to him right now, that dream part won't come true. But I was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I simply said, okay, thank you, Daniel. And we went about our business for about 12 months. About a year later, 12 months, I'm walking around my palace one day. You can see me. I was a handsome man in that picture. I don't know who took that. It had to be with a Kodak camera. But I was walking around my palace one day, and I'm looking over my palace. I'm looking over the town of Babylon and the nation. And I'm saying, look at what I have done. Look at what I have created. And instantly, something happened. I became nuts. I became insane. I don't remember much from that point on, except that I was a raving lunatic. somehow I found myself out in the wilderness. I don't know if the people, my guards or whatever took me up because I was so lunatic or just what exactly happened. I don't remember that part. All I know is soon I found myself out in the wilderness. My hair grew like you guys had it back in the 80s. My fingernails grew as long as an eagle's claws and as thick. Try to pick up anything with those things. I became so unrecognizable. I was eating grass. Have you ever eaten grass? Don't do it. You see, God had blessed me through my life several times, and I failed to realize the way He was blessing me. He had blessed me with building Babylon. If I never realized that through Him blessing me to build up Babylon the way it was, how He was using me to carry out prophecy for Israel. You see, Israel had turned against God in several different ways. They had split as a nation. They had followed after false gods and blended false gods in with worshiping God and just doing different things and something that, you know, we're told not to do. God says in His commandments, thou shalt not what? Have any other gods before me. And they had done that and they had done all these different things, so God was going to use Babylon to conquer Israel, and I did not realize how much of a part I was playing in that through God blessing me with the power that He gave me in Babylon. And then one day, 7 years after I was driven into the wilderness, I suddenly realized that it wasn't me who built that kingdom of Babylon. Oh, sure, I did some of the work, but it was God allowing me to build that Babylon. It suddenly became clear as I was trying to speak, He was trying to speak through me, or through those young men to me. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, through their devotion, giving me the example of what it means to truly have faith in God. Not just saying He exists. Not just saying, well, I believe in Him, but I have all these other beliefs that go along with Him. But to put Him first in everything and Him only in my life. I came to true faith and worship in the one true God. I walked away from trying to mix our gods with the Babylonian gods. I'm trying to worship them all, but to simply just worship God Almighty. I received my kingdom back. I was blessed. But I look around today and see in your world many who are living like I was. No, not by conquering kingdoms, but people who claim to believe in there is a God, but don't truly have a relationship with that God, or haven't truly put their faith in God. People who claim to worship God and yet try to live in ways of the world instead of the ways that are described in His Bible. People who say God must be first in your life, yet choose lifestyles contrary to biblical writings or biblical principles. People who claim God is the God of other gods and blending those gods and things such as mysticism and psychics and mediums and fortune tellers instead of seeking the one true God. People who put their own selfish desires before worship of God. God was patient and loving towards me. He built me up. And then to teach me a lesson in His love, He had to tear me down. in order to build me back up as I put my faith in him. And sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes God has to give us a lesson. Bring us to our knees. There's a scripture verse in your Bible that says that one day every knee will bow. One way or another, every knee is going to bow someday. Whether we bow down to him on our knee and recognize him as our Lord, as our Savior, or as we bow down to him recognizing him who he is and ready to be judged by him. God was patient with me. He is patient with us. But there is a day coming when those who do not truly come to faith in him through Jesus Christ will not have that second chance. We are given all of our chances now, not later. My prayer is this, as Nebuchadnezzar, that you learn from me. You learn the difference of saying that there is a God, even claiming that there's a most high God, and putting your faith in the one true God. That there's a difference from going through religious practices instead of living in a life of a relationship with that God. We get that through Jesus Christ. As your pastor, as we've been seeking since January about being a seeker, what it truly means to be a seeker. And of course, we've been going the last few weeks going through the book of Daniel. And we're going to continue it next week with perfect handwriting that I don't have. But today we have to, as we're looking at Nebuchadnezzar, and this actually closes the book on Nebuchadnezzar, but not on Daniel. We can look at the example that several times he claimed, okay, Daniel, your God is the most high God. Daniel, you've got a God. God, your God is over top of all the other gods. And we have to remember that he is the only God. And we have to remember what Jesus said in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to God. How? Except through him. It's not about our works. Those come after our salvation. It's not about trying to live good. Living good is good. Living good is good. But it's not sufficient. We can be the most perfect person, if you want to put it that way, and yet still be lost. Because there is no such thing as being, quote unquote, absolutely perfect. Only Christ was perfect. But we have a God who loves us. He loved Nebuchadnezzar. If you look at what Nebuchadnezzar did, Nebuchadnezzar was not a very nice guy in the beginning. He was full of himself, to say the least. He wanted things his way. He wanted all this power. He was selfish. He was just, you know, all the different things he did. But yet God still did what? Forgave him because Nebuchadnezzar came to faith in him. And we have to remember that no matter what we've done, when we come to Christ, put our faith in him, we are promised that forgiveness. We're promised. It's not something to say, well, you got to come to Christ and ask for forgiveness, and then you got to do this. No, that's not the way it works. There's some things that we do afterwards because of our salvation, but we can't do anything to get our salvation except come to him and what he's done for us on the cross. But we have to remember that there's a day coming when those who have not put their faith in Christ will not have that second chance, or third chance, or fourth chance. There's a day coming when Christ will return, He'll bind up Satan, and that's a wholly different topic that we're going to be going on later on through this year. But there's a day coming when God is going to say, enough. My question is, when that day comes when every knee will bow, every knee will be bowing down before him, every person will be on their knees before Christ, how are you going to be there? Are you going to be there as one who has been forgiven? One who's got the promises coming to them in Christ because of Christ being their Savior? Or are you going to be one hearing the judgment that is coming? You'll still acknowledge he's God, but it's going to be a totally different thing taking place. See, Jesus, as I said, loves us so much. And as we get ready in the next couple weeks to come into the Lenten season, on the Wednesday services, we're going to be looking at saved without a doubt. That's going to be the topic for the Wednesday services coming up. How we can be sure of our salvation and not have a doubt about it. Because let's be honest, how many times have we wondered, has God truly forgiven me for something? Oh, he forgave me for all this stuff, but there's that one thing that I'm just not sure about. If you're anything like me, we've all had those thoughts. We're going to be looking at how we can know that we are saved without a doubt because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Paid for all those sins. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do praise you and thank you for the many different ways, even surprising ways, you give us examples of how to come to you. Lord, we thank you for the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and as we continue to look at the book of Daniel and just the many blessings we have coming to us yet. But we also thank you for Nebuchadnezzar. We thank you for the continuing way you reached out to him. And all you had to tear him down, the way you built him back up. And sometimes that's what you got to do to us to get us our attention or to truly put our faith in you or to do what you've called us to do. Sometimes in love, you tear us down to build us back up. Sometimes you allow things to happen or you even cause things to happen that we don't understand. But help us to remember that you are our God, our Lord. You've reached out to us in so many different ways, but especially through Jesus Christ. Lord, again, we do praise you and thank you. And we pray that again, that if there's someone here that's never truly put their faith in you through Jesus Christ, that they not leave here today without making that decision. We know that there's a day that every single knee is going to bow one way or another. And Lord, help us to show this love that you have for us to those around us. Part of being a seeker is seeking to serve you by telling others about you. Again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your blessings. Amen.